You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, this is the fourth lecture in our series on Timothy, Titus, the successors to the apostles, and the written word. Now, we've been talking about Paul's letters to Timothy and Titus, and how Paul encourages these co-workers to proclaim the same message that he proclaims. And then he tells these men, Timothy and Titus, to find other men to put into this office so that they would succeed from generation to generation to until our day, teaching the same apostolic message of Christ and Christ crucified for our sins, giving to us salvation, eternal life, and being made righteous in God's sight, all for the sake of Jesus, his person, and his work. The message that Paul was sent to preach, that Timothy and Titus were sent to preach, that the pastors in our own day are sent to preach. As we continue to look at Paul's letters, these three to Timothy and Titus, two to Timothy, of course, and only one to Titus, and we'll close by looking at the continuity with the Apostle Peter and his letter, two letters, of course, of Peter. But let's begin. So we look once again at 2 Timothy this time, and we'll start right at the beginning in chapter 8, and we'll kind of flow through the text of the whole letter and see how this is all connected to the teaching of sound doctrine. So in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, we read this: "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Again, this is Paul writing to Timothy, a co-worker, one who is in this office of proclaiming the message of Christ, and one in which Paul is going to encourage. He's going to encourage Timothy to continue in the faith. Even though Paul is being persecuted, Paul is being rejected, Paul is being mocked, Paul is being spit upon, Paul is suffering for the sake of the gospel, he encourages Timothy that that's exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ did when he came and he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom through his death on the cross. And so Paul here encourages Timothy to not be ashamed about this testimony. And then in this written word, as he assures Timothy, he will ensure all hearers of this word from day to day up until our own day, in which we read this word, and there's men of God placed in this office, just like Paul and Timothy, who likewise should not be ashamed of the suffering for the sake of Jesus that comes with the gospel. So Paul continues in his letter, his second letter to Timothy, going down to verse 11. We read this. Paul says to Timothy, "For which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you." So again, this is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. So here Paul encourages his co-worker Timothy to follow the pattern of the sound words that Paul has given to him. Paul spoke these words in person, and now Paul writes these words so that Timothy himself can be sure and certain that the word he heard before is the same word he sees in writing, that it's the same sound doctrine, the message of the apostles that comes from heaven to proclaim the forgiveness of sins to all people. And so Paul writes this letter so that Timothy would be certain and sure to follow this pattern as he heard from Paul. And likewise, the successors of the apostles in the generations to come would also have the written word so that these men can also follow the pattern of the sound words that they hear from Paul when they read Paul in the epistles as Paul writes to the church. So here Paul says to Timothy that follow the pattern I give you. And this pattern you heard from me, the one in which we learn of all about faith and love that are in Christ, so that this written word is sufficient for you, Timothy, as all these epistles are compiled to have the full counsel of God, and these written scriptures are sufficient for the man of God placed in this office in the future up to our own day, that it is the Holy Spirit who works with this written word to make certain that we hear the voice of God. It is the Holy Spirit who works through the power of this gospel, the proclamation of Christ crucified, which is the power of God for salvation. So that the same Holy Spirit who was working through the mouth of Paul vocally in his day is the same Holy Spirit that works through the mouth of Paul written as we read and hear it in our day. So Paul continues in the next chapter, and he tells Timothy this, "You, Timothy, then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Now here Paul refers to Timothy as his child, so that we understand that Paul is a spiritual father bestowing spiritual truth upon Timothy. And Timothy, then, is to take what he has heard from Paul, and as a father, a spiritual father, Timothy is then to teach others that they too would be brought up in the faith. And so Timothy is to take the words he heard from Paul and entrust it to faithful men who will also be able to teach others. And the way these men are able to teach others is they will hear the voice of Paul, this living voice, while Paul is still walking around this earth. But then they will also continue to hear that voice of Paul in the written word when Paul dies the martyr's death and goes on to glory. So that the men who are placed in this office are able to teach because they have the written word, which makes the man of God wise to salvation. And so Timothy is encouraged, and those in which Timothy also entrusts into this office are encouraged to teach the same thing that the apostles teach, and also to share in the suffering, as Paul opened and began this letter, stating that as one who is proclaiming the truth in an unbelieving world, we must understand that the enemies of the church, the devil, wants to destroy this word and destroy the hearers of this word, and that the devil wants us to be dismayed and fall into despair, but the Lord, through his word, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, comes to bring us this peace which the world cannot give, in this peace that we have with God through Jesus Christ, so that we are able to bear the suffering, the persecution for the sake of the name of Christ. And so Paul continues in chapter 3, And he encourages Timothy, likewise those co-workers in his day that Timothy is entrusting with this office, and of course all successors of the apostles up to our own day, in this office of proclaiming Christ crucified and administering his sacraments. So Paul says to Timothy in chapter 3, starting at verse 6, "For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men." This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. With these words of Paul, the Holy Spirit bestows wisdom upon us, instructing Timothy and us in the reality of false teachers and the false doctrine that they bring. And so Paul talks about those people, for among them, they are the ones who speak contrary to the Word of God. They're the ones who creep into household and capture weak women burdened with sins. But the man of God is to take the message of the cross, which alone can bring comfort to that terrified conscience and give all glory to Jesus Christ. And so the man of God is to take the sound doctrine and proclaim that to the hearers. But there are those who are always learning, those who are never able to arrive at the knowledge of truth. There are those who are always following after new thoughts, new ideas, and being led astray by false spirits into false teaching. And then they itch the ears of those who are looking for such new thoughts and ideas. But Paul assures Timothy that nothing is new here. The same thing happened to Moses. These are these two men who opposed Moses before Pharaoh, who were able to do those false signs and wonders. And so Paul assures Timothy and the successors to this apostolic office that there will be people who provide false signs and wonders that the crowds will be lured towards. But Paul says, as for you, though, keep with the sound words of the faith, and not the folly of men. So he goes on in the same chapter 3, starting at verse 10, by saying this to Timothy: "You, on the other hand, however, not like them, you have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and suffering that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me." So that's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. Here again, Paul contrasts those who teach contrary to the apostolic message and Timothy and the faithful men who will follow the pattern of sound doctrine. So that Timothy is to follow the teaching of Paul, and those men that are entrusted with this office are to follow the teachings of Paul. And both Timothy and these successors are to know that persecutions that came to Paul, and he endured them through his faith in Christ, these persecutions also are to come. Persecution comes from the proclamation of the gospel for the sake of the name of Jesus. And so these individuals now have this comfort, so that when it does come, they can be certain and sure that God remains with them in his promises while they suffer. Paul continues on in chapter 3, verse 14 and 17. He says this again: "As for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. So again, Paul makes this contrast between those who reject and refuse to listen to the voice of God in the words of the apostles, and then on the other hand, those like Timothy who take the words of Paul and they learn it, they mark it, they inwardly digest it, it's upon their lips, and then they proclaim it. And so he says to Timothy, just as you have had the sacred written scriptures since you were an infant and have been acquainted and learning from them, continue in the written words of the scriptures of the New Testament, the words of the apostles, as this letter itself is a written scripture, for all scripture is breathed out by God. It's the same Holy Spirit who spoke through the mouth of the apostles and the prophets. The same Holy Spirit who worked through the living voice of the prophets back in those days before the coming of the Christ, and in the days after the ascension into heaven through the apostles, through their living voice. The Holy Spirit works through the living voice and the written word of these prophets and apostles, so that all Scripture is breathed out by God, and all Scripture is able to make man wise for salvation, so that we have the totality, the fullness of God's revelation, and all these writings of the prophets and the apostles that all proclaim Christ. The prophets before told of the coming Christ, the apostles told of the fulfillment in the birth of Jesus of Nazareth, of the Virgin Mary, of his suffering under Pontius Pilate, of his crucifixion, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, and his coming again to judge the living and the dead. So that these written scriptures are sufficient to make one wise for salvation. But also note in this text, it's very clear that it's also specifically intended for the man of God to be complete. The man of God being this man entrusted with this office, so that this man would speak in unison with that voice of Paul. So that when you hear this man speak, you hear the voice of Paul speak. And when you hear the voice of Paul speak, you hear the voice of Jesus speaking. And when you hear Jesus, you hear the Father who has sent him. So that this man may be complete and equipped for every good work, so that this man of God would be able to teach sound doctrine, to reprove and to correct those who teach contrary to it. That this man of God would have this written word, and that this man of God could know for certain what the apostles taught, so that he may teach others. This terminology, man of God, is throughout the whole Old Testament. It's synonymous with a prophet, one who is sent by God to proclaim God's word. So in this office of the Old Testament, the man of God is one who speaks for God, not of his own thoughts, not of his own desires, of his own heart, but rather of God, that it would be the Holy Spirit speaking through him. And so that the man of God in our day can be certain that it's the same Holy Spirit speaking through him, he has the written word of the man of God of Paul. He has the written word of the man of God of Isaiah, of Moses, of Jeremiah, of Peter. And so that this man of God may be complete, so he can teach all. Paul also refers to this same understanding in his first letter. Back in chapter 6, when he calls Timothy a man of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, Paul says this, "But as for you, Timothy, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness." So that Timothy himself is a man of God, placed in this office to proclaim the word of God. And then Timothy is to find other men, faithful men, to place in this office so that they too can be men of God proclaiming the word of God. And then even in our day, we continue to have men placed in this office by the Holy Spirit to be men of God, speaking God's voice. And then the sheep can be certain that this man of God is not speaking doctrines of men, because the sheep have the written word, and the sheep have the warning of Christ and the apostles to beware of false prophets, those who claim to speak for God, but yet speak their own opinions. So the man of God is that minister of the gospel, that he would have this written word so that everything he has that is needed to discharge the duties of this office he's given is now bestowed upon him through the written word. He doesn't need any secret handshakes or any other kind of teaching out there that may have been handed down from Moses through the Pharisees or whatnot. He doesn't need anything else. He doesn't need any Gnostic Gospels that tell of these secrets that the apostles didn't tell us. He has the full counsel of God in the apostolic message as written. And so Paul encourages the man of God, as he does in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. Back in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, he says this to Timothy, "Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so you will save both yourself and your hearers." 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Also in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said, "Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching." That's also 1 Timothy chapter 4, back at verses 11 through 13. So here Paul instructs Timothy in this office to teach these things, the things that Paul spoke with his living voice when he was in person with Timothy, the things that Paul spoke through his written word. "These things teach, and let no one despise you for your youth, because you have the sacred writings that are to make a man of God wise, able to teach, and able to correct false doctrine." And also in this beautiful passage, we see this place of the written scripture being read in the public gathering of the congregation, that Timothy would gather with the people around God's word, the word of God in the mouths of the prophets and in the mouths of the apostles, that we have read from the written scriptures, and then there's an exhortation, a sermon of that man in the office to proclaim the same message, the continuity of one teaching and the teaching of Christ who came to save us, giving to us life and salvation. And so likewise, when Paul talks to Timothy, Paul said again at the first of the letter, chapter 1, verse 9, he tells Timothy that this man must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. So how does a successor of the apostles in our day, how is he able to give instruction and to teach as Paul taught? Well, he has the gift of the written word, which is able to make a man of God wise. Wise and able to teach the doctrine of the apostles and to correct those who teach contrary to it. So Timothy and Titus are encouraged by Paul and all those who succeed them in the generations to come. So that Paul tells Titus in chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, "This testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply," that is, those who teach contrary to the faith of the apostles, "that they may be sound in the faith, not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commands of people who turn away from the truth." So that the man of God is able to teach, he has the written word of God, so that we can be certain and sure of our salvation in Christ. And so Paul tells Titus in chapter 2, verse 1, "Again, as for you, Titus, and all who will succeed after you, teach what accords with sound doctrine," what lines up with the written word. And so Paul will tell Timothy, "If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produces envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and depraved of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain." 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Thanks be to God, we have the written word, which makes a man of God wise to teach the sound doctrine of the apostles. So that this written word assures us that in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says, "Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Again, without the written word, how would we know if we're following the pattern of the sound words that Paul spoke? Thanks be to God, we have the written word in which we can hear Paul speaking to us as he instructs us in his teaching. Likewise, we are warned. Timothy was warned. Titus was warned. Those men in their day, their co-workers, were warned that the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wandering off into myths. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. Again, with the written word, we can be certain and sure that we have the sound teaching and able to identify those who teach falsely and able to correct those who have itching ears that want to accumulate for themselves teachers who have their own style of teaching contrary to the Holy Spirit. So the Apostle Paul teaches Timothy and Titus and the successors in our day. And he is in continuity with all the other apostles. We have Peter's epistle. In his first epistle, he closes his first epistle talking about co-workers, talking about men who've been entrusted in this office, giving the written word for the successors of this office for generations to come. Timothy says in chapter 5 of his first letter, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." That's 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Here we see both Peter and Paul encouraging co-workers in their day and also the successors of this office up until our own day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, redeemertheologicalacademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.